CliffCentral.com.
And we're still in lockdown. We're still in level 3. Wake up. Good morning. You've got to start your Monday. Do things. Make sure that you can provide some kind of value in this weird new economy we're in. And good luck if you're doing that today and trying to make it work. I think everybody's finding it a little harder now than they thought. And you know what? You deserve all the help you can get. And there's some really great people out there who are actually doing amazing things with each other. I don't know if you've noticed, so many people are willing to help. I mean, I actually ordered a pair of weights. You know, I've been complaining about these two little kettlebells that I've got here. I ordered a pair of weights from a friend of mine. He went to a factory. He had this idea that people are not, you know, doing exercise at home. So he went to this factory, said to them, "You guys mill steel, right? You can make things out of steel." And the factory was like, "Yeah, but much of the stuff that we've been doing, machine parts and so on, that we can't do at the moment." He said, "Look, can you make these?" And he gave them some specs for a bunch of weights. Now they make those. So I went onto this friend of mine's social media, and I saw that he's making these beautiful weights. I thought, I need some of those. And I'm sure I'm not the only one, but people are helping each other. So I was like, you know what? Good idea. I'm going to buy a pair.
I've loved seeing people who have been resourceful.
Oh, yeah.
And even just on a very small scale, a bunch of my friends have started, you know, little side hustles.
Right.
Even one has just taken very simply the idea of loving to garden. So now she's selling pot plants.
That's excellent. That's so clever.
You know, just, I'm here at home. I have the time. And so why not? And, you know, how many of us actually have a green finger? So we need that help.
I saw one of the very big exhibition centers. I mean, they're obviously suffering hugely. Mm. They've launched for, I think it's Harvest Week, but it's an Afrikaans name and it's geared towards farmers. They're going ahead with this annual event that they have, but it's going to be virtual. So you can, and it's live. Mm-hmm. So you can, as an event goer, log on and experience this virtual, not conference, what's it called? Exhibit.
Like an expo.
You get this map of all the stands.
Yeah.
And you can click on them, and when you do, you interact live with a stand representative.
It's amazing.
And you speak to them about their products, etc. You can walk around with like 360-degree cameras and visit the stands, and no one's there. No one is in the actual venue. It's just
which means just like a real expo, some people can just stand there with no one visiting their stand and they can just ignore it.
Yeah. Some people will be ignored.
It was so funny to me. I think it happened on Thursday night and I wanted to record it and I couldn't record it in time. Mm-hmm. A friend's company was doing a screening for some movie. So I wasn't even interested in the movie that much, but I just wanted to log on to, because they did it over Zoom, I just wanted to log on just so that she sees my name and I can say, "Hey, yeah, I was there, I was supporting you." But I had my camera off. For most people, they had their cameras on. But there was this old man, because it was some Mandela documentary thing. There was this old man who was watching and had fallen asleep.
Oh, no.
He had fallen asleep with his camera on. And I thought, I so wanted to take a screenshot or record the screen somehow, but the perspective quickly changed away from him. And I thought, oh, Lord, who's going to tell that old man, like, hey, you're like, everyone can see that you're not interested right now. That is a little awkward for him.
Well, go ahead, Leanne.
I was part of a launch for a new range within a skin brand, which Marla Media represents. Mm-hmm. And we did the entire launch online. It was fantastic. And, you know, to media and influencers and content creators and trade, doctors, aestheticians, etc. And instead of people having to come to an event and, you know, you invite 150 pitch up, here 90 were invited and 120 were online.
That's amazing.
it's just so much more successful and far reaching, and you're able to have someone showing the application of the product and experts from the States without having to fly them over.
Yeah, these are things we are discovering better ways of doing stuff.
Absolutely.
And nobody's happy about what's happened. It's all kind of thrown things in the air. But I do think we'll find better ways and more efficient ways of doing business and of interacting with each other. And some of it may be virtual and some of it may be real. Who knows? But we've certainly got to experiment, right?
I think it's great.
So I just want to go through a couple of emails here because we've got some really cool emails. So this is from Lindsay. Lindsay says, in response to a show you did about the coldest direction, you know, we said that a house in South Africa, usually if you want it to be warm, should be north-facing.
Mm.
When I was house hunting and inquired about the direction of a house, the agent told me many of the houses in the neighborhood were built by two Irish brothers, so they all faced south because they built them for maximum sun, as if they were in the northern hemisphere.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not sure if it was a bad Irish joke or not.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Secondly, I've been listening to a lot of my usual podcasts during lockdown where the hosts usually have guests in the studio and are now doing interviews online, and the dynamic doesn't work well. But compliments to you and your team, as all of you seem to have your wit and banter operating at 100%, and your chemistry is so good that the quality of the podcast doesn't seem to suffer, having you in three or more different locations. Well, thanks, Lindsay. I'm always worried about that, but we try.
Mm. Take that feather and put it in your cap.
No, we keep trying, but trust me, it's some mornings it works better than others. I listen to the show. This is a different one now. I listen to the show every day, not live, because sleep. I'm embarrassed to say that I only discovered the magic at the beginning of lockdown. I'm a homebody by nature. I appreciate literacy, genius, and pre-lockdown. Due to an upbringing in a massive Lebanese family, I've always had to be over-the-top, social, and amicable to the point of fooling people into believing I'm an extrovert. But I'm not. You guys have become my chosen family. Listen to this.
Aww.
Bulelo is the uncle who says what everyone is thinking but won't say out loud, to the point where you know he's being a deuce, but he openly is the guy we are all in our minds. A spade in any color of shade is still a goddamn spade.
That's our Emma Bulelio.
Sia is the younger brother who is a 90-year-old mind stuck in a 25-year-old body.
Yes.
He takes control quietly and is always heard and never empowered, and yet remains compassionate and charming in everything he says. Oh, that's nice, Sia.
I'm going to take that as a compliment, but you know, 90-year-old mind, you could be senile at that point and not making a lot of sense.
No, you're an old soul.
Okay, thank you.
Gord is the hyperactive, playful family puppy motormouth with snippets of massive intelligence and wit spewing through much of the bullshit that comes out of his mouth. I fucking love Wednesdays. Leanne is suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
Be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
Every time I hear her say it, I rewind over and over again. For my much needed dose of belly laughs, I love you. And you're being a Kazanti.
Oh.
And then she goes on about me, apparently a reminder of the Morgan Freeman God voice.
Don't glance over it. We want
to read it.
All right, but he has, makes them as. God, let me just start again. He reminds me of the Morgan Freeman God narrative voice. He has this rant occasionally, but they're over as quickly as they begin. So unbelievably articulate, intelligent, clearly well read. I vowed after turning 35 never to engage in a conversation with anyone or fill my limited mind space with crap that didn't challenge my views or serve to teach me in some way. I find myself gaining perspectives I didn't have, at the very least disagreeing with the narrative, but now having a new understanding for it. Thank you all for keeping me countless and countless others sane during this insane time. I love the show, and all of you have gained a lifelong fan, listener, and cousin in me, Bronwyn. Isn't that nice?
Thanks, Cousin Bronwyn.
Very cousin. Cool. She's Lebanese.
Cousin.
My cousin. Very nice.
Machay.
Oh, man. All right, so we... Yeah?
My mate. What is...
Who?
Machay.
My cousin, my friend, my mate.
Oh. Machay. Excuse me. That is not how we speak this side of town.
My blood. My blood.
All sinner.
You don't do that, Hasia.
Oh, perish the thought. No.
Okay, well, we have another great show lined up, not only on cliffcentral.com this week, all of this week, every day. We've got someone interesting popping by, and we'll be joined shortly by Penny Stein, who's from Penny Stein Promotions, but she's also an avid supporter of something I've been supporting for many years, Women and Men Against Child Abuse, and she's got some interesting stuff to tell us there. Obviously, you know, there is more of a concern under lockdown than there might have been in normal, in inverted commas, times, because people are under so much more pressure. So I thought it would be fun to check in with Penny. She's always terrific, and the work she's doing at the moment is terrific, and we'll find out exactly what she's up to. That's coming right up. Lots of emails. You can get hold of us on gareth@cliffcentral.com, or you can just get hold of us on the WhatsApp line, 0797482090. I 100% agree with that letter, Bronwyn. That is from, who is this? Dr. Lee. Okay, Dr. Lee saying she agrees with Bronwyn. Oh, my God, Gareth. I love when an email starts like that. I just found the theme song for 2020. I was watching a movie, and there was a fat guy running down the street, and this was the song playing in my head. I'm going to make it through this year if it kills me. Do you want to hear what it sounds like?
Yeah.
All right.
I hope those aren't the lyrics.
Those are the lyrics, apparently.
Uh-oh.
With the fat guy running down the street. Sounds good. All right, let's check this out. Here, I'm going to play it. It's called, from the Mountain Goats. It's called The Sunset Tree. This year. Take a listen. This is, according to one of our listeners, the theme song for the year. Song. And then the chorus does go, I'm going to make it through this year if it kills me.
Ooh, I don't want to put that sort of threat out to the universe.
Yeah, this is the kind of year the universe will actually deliver on that threat, right?
It could, yes. So I'm not going to. Just go, let's focus on making it through this year, full stop.
Well, we mentioned in the news headlines this morning that there was that church that was robbed in Centurion, and apparently the guy who managed to shoot those robbers was Joost van der Westhuizen's brother.
What?
Yeah, so good for him. I reckon he should get the Order of Mapungubwe for killing those people.
Yes.
Seriously. So thanks for the info. Yeah, Joost van der Westhuizen's brother. That's according to James. So thank you, James.
Remember that other church where there was a lot of drama 2 weeks ago, the International Pentecost Holiness Church?
Yes.
That was like a massacre.
Still just rolls off the tongue.
I laughed at the name, not at the event.
Yeah. They've had to have, like, committees set up just to deal with the violence that's happening within the church. Mm-hmm. They set up the Commission for the Promotion and Protection of the Rights of Culture, Religious and Linguistic Communities had to get involved.
Good Lord.
In this matter.
You thought the church had a long name.
The Commission for the Promotion and Protection of the Rights of Cultural, Religious, and Linguistic Communities.
What's the anagram
it's called?
Acronym, thank you.
Kapurukurula.
Also rolled off the tongue, eh?
That's outrageous.
They've had to now get involved and have been holding several meetings with all of the parties involved in, you know, for the purpose of mediation. Three of the four factions from this church have agreed to work together to restore peace. So there's still this one faction that's just not budging at all. Hmm. How have we still got to this point? Come on, man. It's all ridiculous. A chairperson from the church, a professor, David Masona, said the meetings were tense but have been fruitful. All of them agreed that they'd build unity and reconcile.
Mm. Okay.
Let's see how that goes.
Meanwhile, people are actually killing each other. It's just ridiculous in a church. Mm. So lots more messages. I do want to talk about this situation in Tshwane. So as I understand it, municipal workers went on strike over the weekend, and they decided to open up all the fire hydrants and empty the reservoirs. So there was a massive water problem across pretty much the whole of Pretoria on Saturday. And then on Saturday night, apparently there was sabotage to electrical substations. Now, I don't know whether the municipal workers have a legitimate grievance or not. I don't know what they're protesting for. It's the first I've heard of it, and maybe I only heard of it because it affected me. But I've got to ask this. If you damage and destroy public property, and you inconvenience thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, you should really be charged. You should be arrested, and you should be locked up. Am I wrong?
Yes.
I mean,
it's criminal activity.
Has this country really become such a free-for-all, such a Wild West banana republic, that you can get away with this stuff with impunity? You have no longer to be concerned that there are any repercussions for bad behavior, because it seems to me only law-abiding citizens who are caught on minor infractions, like the sale of alcohol during a prohibition, that those people go to jail, or that people who have outstanding speed fines or things like that go to jail because you actually have them on the system. But if you go and open up the fire hydrants across town and you waste millions of liters of water and then put the entire water pressure grid under enormous strain and cause people to not have basic services, people who are, by the way, paying for those basic services, I wonder why those people don't get arrested. And I bet you no one has been arrested. I guarantee you there's been absolutely no move, either by the Metro Police of Tshwane or by the actual police, to find even one culprit. And if they do, I'd be very surprised. And you can rip off the whole country, like the Guptas did, or like so many other people in the ANC have. And you can get away with that. But if you do something as a normal, law-abiding South African citizen who's trying to make a living, trying to get things going in your life, trying to create a little bit of security for yourself, forget about it. You're the first person to be arrested. Doesn't that seem to you a little perverse?
Absolutely.
Doesn't that really tick you off?
Yeah. But yet we kind of let it slip and we go on with our lives, and that's how it ends up being.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm pissed off, but I'm also just hopeless at the moment when it comes to that kind of thing, because I don't think there is any political will to fix it.
Hopeless and helpless. Like, we can't do anything about it, can we?
Yeah.
What, more protest action?
Yeah, you can complain like we are now. I don't know what else you can. So we're Karens. That's what we're doing.
Mm.
We're complaining. But it just seems to me like there's got to be some way to hold government accountable. You've got to stop giving them money. There has to be a way to close those taps.
Hit them where it hurts.
Yeah, I reckon that the municipality of Tshwane should give all the ratepayers a reduction. Of course, they're probably in the red again, you know, so they don't have any money. But somehow, as a citizen, you should be able to use those tools immediately at your disposal, like, for example, your rates and taxes. I don't know. I mean, it's just something I needed to bring that up because it's really annoying me. Anyway, someone said they looked at the 150 million rand house that we were talking about. It looks exactly like a Joe Burger's house in Cape Town. Turquoise accents are tacky. Great view, though. that's from Morgan. Morgan clearly thinks all Joburg people have no taste.
Okay. I'll reserve my comment.
Someone says, why can't we just get Joost's brother to blitz the people who are doing that in Tshwane? For the same reason.
Joost's brother's going to become a hero.
He is, right? And for the same reason our government seems impotent, which is bloody sad. The positivity revolution somehow, can that turn the tide? Well, I don't know that there are that many people who are positive right now. That's the big problem.
Yeah, it's also just we're lacking the energy to deal with anything big right now.
Yeah, but there's so much going on already that requires your energy, you know?
Mm.
Anyway.
Just remaining sane while you're indoors.
Yeah, just trying to remain sane is making people crazy. Anyway, so lots of very interesting stuff going on in the world, and we haven't even looked internationally because I think there's enough just in South Africa to keep people interested. What else is going on your side, Sia? I heard that you found out ice cream sales are up.
Yeah. Have your
this is a phenomenal thing. I mean, it's so cold at the moment. Are you talking globally or are you talking here?
Globally. Okay. Have your shopping trends, so I have some global stats and local stats, but have your shopping trends changed since lockdown and you being indoors? Because I know mine have. When I saw the ice cream stats, I actually resonated with it because I'm one of those people who started buying comfort food because I'm thinking, well, okay, I'm on the couch, might as well stuff my face and really enjoy it.
Well, I don't know if my habits have changed that much. I mean, I'm certainly buying less, but I'm cooking more. During lockdown, it's undoubtedly the busiest I've ever been in my kitchen. I've never been in the kitchen this much. And that's not because I'm overeating or anything, but I have to go in there to make my own food.
Mm.
And before,
so you're part of then the local group who has been experimenting more and more with food. There is a company by the name of Kantar who's done some research around some local shopping trends, and they found that 64% of South Africans with buying power have been snacking more throughout the day just based on what they've been buying, and that 72% are trying new recipes based on some new and odd ingredients that they're buying as well. And interestingly, so from March, that was around Easter time, or Easter just about to roll in, and so Easter eggs and chocolate was really going up from that point. They've said that that level has remained relatively flat since. So locally, we're all just like stuffing our faces and eating chocolate just to make ourselves feel better. They say there are some standards as well in terms of what people buy, like gum and other forms of candy that people are still just buying in general. But Unilever, globally now, has released their stats because they have, you know, everything and anything in their group. And they've found that ice cream in particular has skyrocketed over the past couple of months. They said that ice cream consumed at home increased by 15% in the first half of the year. And then sales are even higher at 26% between the months of April and June. But then interestingly, on the flip side, they've noticed a decline in their deodorant sales.
So people are smelly and they're eating food that's comforting.
They're sitting watching TV, eating ice cream out the tub, not lifting their arms because their pits stink.
I would like to believe it's only because most of us aren't as active as we ordinarily were before lockdown, because maybe you might be going to gym and you might have a lot of fitness classes. So now that you're sitting at home, you aren't doing as much. I still have faith in humanity that we are still taking regular showers or baths.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, maybe it's because not everyone's showering every single day.
Mm.
But it's what's quite interesting in the world of beauty and cosmetics is that skincare products.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's my cigarette from Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Skincare products are on the rise. So people are really taking care of their skins and they're wearing masks and all sorts of things. However, the sale of makeup, cosmetics, is down. Which if you think about it, is really good for skins around the world because we're looking after them and not piling them with makeup. That was my whole story. I didn't have
more
on that.
We thought we were building up to some kind of incredibly weird Leanne-type ending there. But okay.
Maybe I just find skincare, interesting.
I think that there are changes in people's spending habits. And first of all, people are probably spending a whole lot less, number one. I haven't been buying ice cream. In fact, I don't think I've had very many sweets around the house during lockdown. In the beginning, maybe. But I said to you the other day, I've lost weight during lockdown. I don't know how. I've been trying to do exercise every day, and, you know, that sometimes works, sometimes it doesn't. I'm no saint. But I haven't put on weight, which I'm kind of happy about, because I think that's very difficult for people.
Well, interestingly, I actually didn't know this about South Africa before I was reading up on this. We are the second most price-sensitive country in the world, according to Nielsen.
Really?
So, yeah, when it comes to now job losses and retrenchments or salary freezes or cuts, I think our shopping behavior will change even more. Because, you know, when it comes to price, clearly then we are different.
Oh, I was actually thinking about that the other day. I used to kind of, oh, this is going to sound snobbish.
Go on.
But I didn't buy things that were on sale just because they were on sale. I didn't like embracing that whole culture of buying in bulk if something was on sale, for instance. Mm-hmm. But now, if something's on sale, I'll buy six of them. It's just my mentality has changed in terms of what's been happening and, you know, being money and price sensitive. And I don't feel ashamed anymore to just buy items that are on sale.
Yeah, I hate the idea of panic buying or of stocking up. But at the same time, I don't like going to the shops. I've said already on the show a couple of times that it's very unpleasant to go to the shops now with the masks and the hand sanitizer, and often queues. So the less I have to go to the shops, the better. And I do think a lot of the most obvious habit that we can pick up on is that people are now buying stuff online.
I felt so bad for my delivery service that I use because as I try to not leave the house, I then forget about small little purchases. Now, beforehand, if you had, you know, needed cheese for your dinner, you would just dash out to the shops and get that and come back.
Yeah.
Well, now when I'm avoiding that, I'm like, sorry, Mr. Delivery Man, you'll just have to roll around here just to deliver cheese.
You don't feel bad about that, or ordering something, one tiny little item?
I do, but then...
This is why Sia's Uber score is low. He doesn't mind inconveniencing people.
I make myself feel better because sometimes there's a minimum price that you have to spend so that they deliver. So then I compensate with buying chocolate.
Well, look who's here. We're very excited this morning to welcome the extraordinarily glamorous and always terrific Penny Stein, who is absolutely South Africa's PR doyen. Not only has she worked with international A-listers, incredible concepts, but she's someone who's passionate about making a change in South Africa. And one of the things that she does, which I know everybody's going to be extremely pleased to support too, is Women and Men Against Child Abuse. Now, if you'd like to know more about this, we've got a chance to talk to her today. How are you, Pen?
Hi, Gareth. Lovely to chat with you. It's been a while.
You're always looking so fresh and full of life and full of beans. How's the lockdown been so far?
Pretty tough, yeah. I must say. Pretty tough for all. Mm. Very kind of confusing, very disorientated. Everything takes a lot longer than normal.
Yeah.
I've taken in a couple of kids and families, so I have a full house, people at risk. So I've been feeding sort of 12 people a day for 5 months. So there's my purpose at the moment.
The Penny Stein Soup Kitchen.
It is. It is. It's become that.
Let's get straight into it because you brought up the kids. I know you've always been one of these people who's been happy to devote your time and your energy and your money and whatever other resources you have to helping other people. You've done this with a number of other foundations. You've been involved in some tremendously successful charity drives and community projects. But Women and Men Against Child Abuse is something we both take very seriously. I've been a patron there for years, and whatever I can do to help, it seems to me that it's the most deserving cause because we have such a scourge in this country of women who are abused and children who are abused, mostly by men. And the organization is Women and Men Against Child Abuse. And I know we've spoken a couple of times to Miranda and some of the other great people in WAMICA, as we can shorten it.
WAMICA, yes.
But tell me about what's going on there and how you got involved and what you're doing at the moment.
So, during the pandemic, I'm a great dog lover too. Mm. So Miranda Jordan, who founded and heads up WAMICA, is also a dog lover, and she's got a tribe in Alex. And I phoned her and I said, I've raised 150 dog blankets. Come and fetch for your animals.
Yeah.
So she popped around. We had a cup of tea. We started talking community, what, how people are managing in COVID. And she said to me, don't you want to come and add some human capital to us for the next 6 months? I said, I'd be delighted. Amen. So I'm now part of that team, which I'm so happy about. As you know, I started the Red Comfort Pack campaign last year on my own. Mm-hmm. When I heard that there were no rape kits in police stations. Right. Fast forward, and at the moment, what is going on is lockdown has created an enormous amount of abuse towards children. In fact, the clinics that we have in Boksburg and in Alex have been running on skeleton staff, obviously due to COVID. They're now having to open up full time. The backlog is great. The kids that are coming in do not have masks. And often when a kid is brought in, they're brought in by a family member, a mother, a father, social services, a police. They have no mask. So often you get a kid and a family that comes in that have no protection. So not only are we fighting COVID, but we're fighting abuse. So we're masking up every family. So you can imagine a family comes in, four people come in, no one's masked. You can't let them go out masked, so we're masking everybody.
Right.
On top of that, we want every family member and child to have that. We're running about 422 therapy sessions a month.
My God.
That is for new cases, regular therapy, play therapy, narrative therapy, whatever kind of therapy. That is a huge cost. And nobody, this is not pro bono work. This is social workers, psychologists, professionals who are dealing with these kids. So we're running a campaign to ask the public that considering COVID-19 is so rampant in Gauteng, and our clinics are in Boksburg and in Alex, if they consider donating 60 rand towards a mask, we will give the kids a mask, and that will also help us a little bit towards paying for a therapy session. So, Gareth, the need is great. It's awful. It's tragic. This is a much bigger conversation, but if we can just play a small part in trying to fight these two pandemics we have at the moment as individual citizens, well, we will make a difference, and we can. And we'll leave the real big, achy work to the professionals to handle.
Yeah, those professionals. You know, we don't have enough social workers and therapists in this country, right? There's a huge dearth of them, and unfortunately, they also are professionals. They're people who have worked hard to be able to do what they do, and they make a massive difference. But they don't do it for nothing. They're not expected to.
Well, they're not expected to. Yeah. And, you know, forensic nurses are also, you know, highly, highly skilled and highly qualified women and men. So we have forensic nurses. So we have the whole gambit of A, professionals. But then remember with Women and Men Against Child Abuse, they're not only the rape clinic. So they don't only do assessments. They actually take it so much further. And they take on the victim and take on the justice system and hopefully put the perpetrator behind bars. So it's a very long, very expensive process. And you can imagine how all of them feel on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's such difficult work. Now, I know that you pour your heart and soul into these things. I'm just wondering, and there are many people like you and Miranda who do this. Unfortunately, not enough. I say many. Yeah. We could do with, if I could copy and paste a million Penny Steins, we'd have the country sorted out like that. But how do you get through the day, Pen? I mean, this is not easy work, and a lot of it is so sad and so depressing and so traumatic to be a witness to. How do the people at Women and Men Against Child Abuse make it through the day?
Well, I think they have periods where they lull and they're going to burn out and exhaustion like everybody. And then, you know, there are certain people in life that you meet who, when their reserves are empty, they find an extra battery somewhere.
That's amazing.
And just turn it on. So, it's tough work. Listen, You're seeing the worst ills in society in this world.
Yeah, you're seeing the ugly underbelly of what really goes on in South Africa. And it's not a pretty picture. I mean,
well, it's global, Gareth. You know, I mean, it's global, but it's awful here. Yeah. I mean, it's, I suppose the button that it pushes in me every single day to carry on is how evil humanity has become. And I think that's really of the innocent and the most vulnerable. So that's really where I am at the moment. So the details on the mask campaign are up on our website. So we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, Wamaka, and all the details are there. And Gareth, if you can help us,
If anybody can, I mean, what we're going to do is put up the bank details on the website. We'll also put all the different links to social media, and you can go and look at what Women and Men Against Child Abuse do. If you're not familiar with the great work that they do, it'll take a couple of moments of your day, and you can make a contribution. You know, for many of us, 60 rand, Sia's going to buy cheese from the Uber guy today. That's going to cost him more than that. So it's really something that we can all do, and I don't think that it's saying too much that every bit helps. And thank God that there are people out there who are looking. We're all going through a tough time with lockdown. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody's panicky about this disease, whether they've had it, they haven't had it, whether they're scared of getting it. And there are people who are more vulnerable than you and me. So if we can help in some way, this is the way to start doing it. But well done to you. I mean, listen, with you on their side, I'm sure this is going to help Women and Men Against Child Abuse with, you know, getting the attention that they deserve. How many people actually work in the organization, out of interest?
So each clinic has about 12 full-time staff, and then they have social workers who come in because obviously everyone's rotating,
right?
Because we have 420 kids come in, so they all have their own kid. So, you know, it's a good 25 to 30 full-time.
Sure.
And then, of course, they bring in other people. So, you know, this is not something, you know, as you say, bring the awareness. It's a very difficult thing to bring awareness to and about because people are not that receptive to listening and hearing about
it. Well, it's just so horrible that a lot of people don't want to talk about it. So they just put it out of their mind and think, if I don't think about it, it's not happening.
Mm. Well, that's what I'm saying. So in terms of my commitment to spreading the word, creating awareness, developing initiatives, making a difference for the next 6 months, I'm going to shout it out loud.
Good.
Trust me.
Thank goodness.
I'm going to shout it out loud. And thank you for the support, Gareth. I really appreciate
it. Well, it's always good. Penny Stein, thank you so much. Hopefully we have other reasons to talk that are not all serious through the course of the next few weeks. But good luck to you for the rest of lockdown. And if you want to help, you can go along to cliffcentral.com and we will post all the links and the bank details. Make a little contribution, a big one. It's totally up to you. And you can do that on our website. We'll post everything you need to know right there. Thanks, Pen.
Thank you. Take good care.
Good to see you. Isn't that incredible stuff? Really?
Yeah.
Not the easiest stuff to get involved in, huh? You have to be made of steel.
I've come across so many small, Wamaka's quite a big initiative compared to the small ones that I've noticed, where it's one content creator who has been affected by something that they've seen. And in fact, it was this time, somebody called into DJ Fresh's show, and Anele heard it and tweeted something. And obviously with her big following, this was now doubled in effect. But it was about a father who has hungry children at home and he has no food at this time. And he boils water to give them hope until they fall asleep.
Yeah.
And that was just really, that affected so many people. And this blogger who's very active in the community decided to take it upon herself to raise funds to help specifically women, but parents in need, whether it's and to give 100 people 150 rand, whether it's just to pay the electricity and keep the lights on, etc. And this is just the fantastic thing that I'm seeing coming out of COVID.
It's the best and the worst, right? I mean, we see people doing amazing and incredible and kind and considerate and thoughtful things for each other. And we also see people just becoming the worst people they can be. Mm-hmm. And you've got to make that's only up to you. And I feel really sorry for like a parent who can't feed their kids. Can you imagine how absolutely frustrating and demotivating and awful as a parent you must feel if you can't feed your own kids?
Oh, it goes against every instinct in a parent.
I mean, that's just desperation, right?
Yeah.
And so my heart goes out to those people. But really, the ability to become a better person because of circumstances or to become a worse, more reptile type of person during this time is just, it's really in your hands.
And I'd like to think that most people are becoming better.
Oh, I hope you're right. I really do. I hope you're right. There's evidence of that, but there's also evidence of the opposite.
Yeah.
And I wonder what it is that makes people either step up or fall down. I don't know what it is. Some people have the ability to do that. Others just, it goes horribly wrong.
Yeah. Whether it's brain chemistry, whether it's upbringing, whether it's social influences, poverty, it all has an effect.
Yikes.
Hey, Gareth, glad to hear you're giving cooking a go. This is a message that we just got now from Craig. Go and check Nat's, what I reckon, on YouTube. I don't understand what this is.
This is the grammar all over the place.
Yeah, young guy who keeps things basic and fun. Apparently, it's a YouTube Australian guy. Now, I'm not going to watch cooking shows. I will cook something. I mean, I made the most boring meal ever the other day. It was so crap that I actually... No, it was so crap. It was like... these chicken schnitzels or whatever it was, and I defrosted them and I cooked them, and they just tasted boring. And
I can just see the displeasure on your face already.
And I don't want to watch a show. All I do is if I've had a bad meal, I'm also not one of those people who complains about bad meals when I do. When I used to go out, when we all used to go out, I never go to the restaurant and then complain after the meal and like, oh, my steak wasn't perfect, you know? I just eat it, and then I don't order that again, or I don't go to that restaurant again.
Yeah.
And I'll do the same with me. Like, I'm not interested in becoming a great chef. So let's move on to some other messages here.
That ship has long gone.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to become a cook now. Forget about it. Here's a message this morning from Dave-O. Dave says, what are your thoughts on the government's new tax suggestions that have been tabled? Well, they need to get money.
Yes.
Yeah, they need to get money from somewhere. Do you want to tell us about what they are?
There is most predominantly an amusement tax. Amusement.
What the hell is that?
So that'll be a tax for exactly that, going to amusement parks, movie theaters, fun fairs, casinos.
They really are trying to make life as miserable as possible, aren't they?
No, but, it is something that exists in other countries. And
it shouldn't. Why would you want to tax people on amusements? I mean, what role does government play in bringing you amusement? Do me a favor.
Well, all I can say is if they hadn't banned cigarettes, they wouldn't have had this problem.
Yeah.
With not enough tax.
Lift the ban. Go along to lifttheban.org and sign up. Have you signed yet, Leanne? You did it.
Oh, I did immediately. Yeah.
Go check that
out. They're looking at hotel taxes, amusement taxes, fire levies,
yes,
advertisement levies, weigh-in bridges in mining areas, and development charges. What is all of that?
So, like any advertising posters or banners that you see driving around, those will carry a tax with them now as well.
Oh, come on.
They are such greedy bastards.
Well, when I say they will, it's being tabled or debated.
Yeah, here's a good point being made. Janet says, what I cannot comprehend is a peaceful protest of only a handful of people who are practicing social distancing in Cape Town gets bombed with water cannons. 2 days later, hooligans run wild, burning down a racetrack and destroying property, fires burning, people running in the streets, pushing down walls, and the police stand and watch. No water cannon. You can't help wonder if orders from above aren't based on how peaceful or how destructive protesters are. Yep.
Or how much they want to ignore the issue or put it, cover it up.
We saw the same thing in America, though. Gareth, you should try YouCook. How's this? Simple dishes, ingredients delivered in perfect quantities, recipe cards, you cook the meal, no waste, great tasting food. Huh.
Yeah, that would be something really good for you.
Thanks,
so
Mariska.
They deliver in each box is the chopped up or some spring onions that you need for that dish,
okay,
and the piece of chicken.
I wouldn't know a spring onion if it jumped out of the box and bit me.
Well, it is a spring onion.
I've heard about this, though. Someone told me this is a really great service. So, yeah, I may as well try that. Thanks, Mariska. Good suggestions.
Oh, I don't want to bring the mood down, but I really want to talk about this.
Go on.
I'm not surprised that we have these cases popping up, but for now there are two cases like this in the Eastern Cape that have been reported of families who have buried the wrong body.
Oh, what?
Oh, no.
Are you kidding?
Because they were people who had COVID-19. And, you know, there's so much regulation around that. When it comes to someone who has passed away from COVID-19, you can't touch the body.
Yeah.
At a certain time, or, you know, the body has to be like encapsulated in something within like 3 hours. So in two specific cases, there've been two separate families who thought they had their body of their loved ones. One particular family was said that they received the body already in a coffin and wrapped in plastic, so they couldn't do like an open casket situation during the service. So they thought it was their loved ones, and then lo and behold, they get a call a couple of days later, like, "Oh, hey, sorry, yeah, so that wasn't your aunt that you buried a couple of days ago."
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, no. That's, like, horrific. That's really horrible.
That's terrible, because now you've had a service and you thought you were putting, you know, I think this stuff's important, man. I'm sorry. Look, this is really important. Like, who's irresponsible enough to give the wrong body to people?
You know, when there are 600 deaths a day, are there not mix-ups that are going to occur when we're not prepared for this? I saw a snippet of funeral home directors who are...
During this whole pandemic, right, if you average it out, about 5,500 people have died. We've been doing this for 4 months. It's almost like 4 or 5 deaths a day from COVID if you average it out, right?
I think so, but on Wednesday last week, there were 600.
Yeah, but TB takes out 127 people a day in South Africa in a normal year.
Mm.
Okay, so we should be able to handle this. On average.
Yeah.
It's outrageous that we're being put into a panic situation. So the morgues or whoever it is that deals with these things should be in a position to handle this.
Mm. So the family of Nomawe Tumbishi, she was 56 years old and she's passed away. Her family is now speaking out against this. Mm. So they had been given the wrong body, and they were the family who said that they already received the body in a coffin and wrapped in plastic. They got the call a couple of days, just 2 days after they had buried what they thought was their relative. And then it also came out that her accurate test results were released, because the initial test results that were ruled as COVID-19 and a positive case were actually false. So Nomawet was negative. She didn't have COVID-19, but already the hospital and the health system had gotten that wrong as well.
Oh, my goodness.
That's crazy. I'm sorry. How's that allowed to happen?
Well, I'm firstly, I don't know if this is anything positive, but I'm glad that a phone call was made and that there was an admission of guilt.
Yeah.
They
got this wrong. Because normally
they wouldn't even
do that.
How would they know, you know?
Jesus, what a story.
What about some people who are probably, they've been lied to, actually?
Well, I mean, they not only got the COVID wrong, but they gave the wrong body to this family. It's just outrageous. Mm. It's just such a lack of respect.
Now the family have to go to their local magistrates and apply for an order to exhume the body again and have a whole new funeral process as well. So unnecessary, but I hate to be the one to say, I think we're going to see more of this.
I hope not. It's so revolting. So revolting. Such a dereliction of duty on the part of everyone involved. How awful.
When already these are such tense and uncomfortable times.
I mean, listen, this is not making people's lives better. It's making it a lot worse. Makes everything horrible.
Get it right, people.
Come on. Come on.
Put yourselves together.
Well,
but you also then wonder, where is your loved one in all of this? Perhaps if you had buried the wrong body and now you're trying to exhume that body, you're like, where is my aunt? Where is she in all of this? Has she been buried by someone else?
Right.
And also remember that people are alone when they die of COVID. They're not sitting with family members next to their bed.
This is the worst. This is the worst thing about it. And believe me, if it turns out that governments have been less responsible than they should have, and people have had to die alone during this pandemic, and we're only going to find this stuff out in time, right?
Mm.
And you put people through that, because that's serious emotional trauma, then there's going to be hell to pay, because I don't think anyone's going to forget, and no one's going to forgive, certainly not easily, if this kind of thing is going on. And you know, we've got the hospitals, which are obviously being prepared for COVID, but there are people who are suffering from all kinds of other things. And if it turns out that we are never overwhelmed in terms of the hospitals and the medical facilities in South Africa, if it turns out that we've always been more or less in control, and certainly that seems to be the case in most parts of South Africa, then all those people who still have other important things that they need care for, they need to be looked after for, and if those people end up losing their lives or becoming very sick or having advanced conditions as a result of not being able to get hospital beds, I think there's going to be hell to pay.
Mm.
But let's, please, let's not
if
end
it's
this.
Just let's negligence.
Not, let's not end this morning on that note. I mean, North Korea had its first ever COVID case over the weekend, the first suspected case of COVID. So what did they do?
Over their first case, they've declared an emergency.
Okay.
So maybe they've had the right idea, right? Because no one there has COVID. This is also what they're telling us, remember?
Yeah.
We never really know.
Yeah.
But apparently the first coronavirus case is somebody who came back over the border from South Korea. They had defected 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And now they've come crawling back. Can you imagine? They're going to kill this person.
Of course
they are.
Whether
they die of COVID or not.
No, that person's
finished. They're
going to
put him in a sack in the forest and shoot him.
Uh-huh. No, well, that's what they do in North Korea.
And who would have crawled back into North Korea?
I don't believe it.
I don't know. Well,
I don't believe it. Sorry.
Again, maybe they've got the right idea with no one, you know, being so isolated that no one ever got ill. I mean, the only other place in the world that's like that is this one tiny island off Italy. This entire island has been spared of coronavirus, and they think a lot of it has to do with their strong genetics and their lifestyle.
Trust the Italians to, like, beat on their own chest. Sure, genetics, okay. It's also because we are so beautiful as Italians and we eat the wine. We drink the wine and we eat the pasta.
Eat the wine, huh? You eat too much wine this weekend.
Eat the wine and drink the pasta.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, listen, try to look after yourself today. There's clearly a lot of madness and craziness and stupidity in the world. And we will reconvene here tomorrow, bright and early at 6 o'clock. Have an excellent day in the company of cliffcentral.com. And if you didn't listen to it last week, you might have missed it in all the madness. But go and listen to that interview I did with Sam Cowan about her book. Brutal School Ties is what it's called. It's a really interesting discussion. And Sam was, she did so much research and she spent so much time figuring out the actual story of what happened in Parktown Boys High and, you know, what could be going on in other places. I mean, she's really done a lot of work. It's worth listening to. It's even more worthwhile, obviously, getting the book. But thank you to Penny Stein this morning. Thank you to you. And we will catch you tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. Have an excellent day.
CliffCentral.com